Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio, the world's most listened to, irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk radio station. And boy, have I got a great show for you today. As always, hey, thank you guys for listening, and I always encourage you to give me a call if you have any questions or comments about what we're talking about today, which I'll get into in just a moment. The live line here is 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815, and of course, also you can email me directly. If you have questions, you're shy, you don't want to get your voice on the air, go for it here, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. We can take your questions or comments, and I think you may have a lot of questions today, especially guys listening. I don't know if you read some of my social media this morning, what I was telling you about our main subject, but it's all about men. But the good news is that all the women out there who always listen to me and all the newcomers, welcome, because you're going to learn a lot about the male sexual health and all about men's apparatus. I like saying that because, and I'll tell you why in just a bit. So, and again, I encourage you to call or email me if you have any questions or comments. And yeah, let me ask you a few questions, guys. How, really think about this. I mean, a lot of people always think about this, but how can you really have a more active sex life? Do you want that? Yeah, yes, it is healthy, and we'll find out more about that in just a minute. It's very healthy for you. Would you like to know the top five ways to tell if you're really satisfying your partner? And what is attitude? What is that about attitude being the key to penis longevity? You're going to be hearing the word penis a lot today, so I'm just telling you, because I have an expert with me. And also, what's the real secret that men should know about their sexual apparatus? The real secret. There's like five, guys, and I want you to keep on listening here. Don't go away, because you're going to miss something. Because today you're going to hear the answers to these and more questions that you won't want to miss. My guest is Dr. Dudley Seth Danoff. He's a diplomat of the American Board of Urology, a fellow of the American College of Surgeons. He's president and founder of the Cedars-Sinai Tower Urology Medical Group here in Los Angeles. For more than 25 years, he taught on the clinical faculty of the UCLA School of Medicine. He's the recipient of numerous honors that would take too long to say, but if you go online and find out more about him, which we'll tell you how to find out more about him, you'll see all the honors that he has accrued over the many years he's been practicing. He's also been known for his outstanding community service as the senior attending urologist at the Saban Los Angeles Free Clinic since 1990. And you may have read his other books, by the way, which did really well. And this one's flying off the bookshelves, as he told me. It's called Penis Power and Super Potency. But today, we're going to be talking about those subjects with him and also about his latest book, The Ultimate Guide to Male Sexual Health, How to Stay Vital at Any Age. So with that, all of that, and there's more, welcome to the show, Dr. Danoff. So nice to have you here.
Thank you so much, Michelle, for having me.
Aw, you're welcome. You know, I have never read a more comprehensive book about men's sexual health. I really thought I knew a lot. You know, having, you know, we have to study some medical issues here as a psychologist. But I really became informed about men's sexual apparatus and men's brains, the way they think. That was so helpful to me.
Well, I tried very hard. Yeah, I'm a straight middle-of-the-road urologist, spend most of my day doing urologic oncology.
Yes.
And I try to write a book about this mysterious subject. I try to do it in simple, straightforward language, a little bit of humor, tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
If you're in this business as long as I've been in, and if you don't have a sense of humor, you're up the creek.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? You're an amazing man, and you have saved lives. Because I know you work also in oncology as well.
Yes, that's what I do most of the day.
God bless you. God bless you. Just before we went on the air, he was checking in on certain patients and how they're doing. I really honor you and your wonderful work that you do. I loved where you said, you know, in your bio, that you have seen more penises. How did you put that? Would fill up the Rose Bowl or something?
Yes, I've seen. Yes, that's true. I've sort of a... I've been doing this for more than 30 years, and I've kind of dreamed up. It was a huge number, and then I thought of the Rose Bowl.
It was great.
Yeah.
No, it was the
very
visual.
Accurate.
I can't get that
probably
visual.
Probably two Rose Bowls.
Oh, my God.
The Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl.
There you go. Oh, my gosh. And those are very large stadiums if you don't live in Los Angeles, folks, if you don't know that. You know, you say that most men and almost all women, which is really interesting, are ignorant about men's sexual apparatus in general. And why are we so ignorant? What is this about?
Well, we live in a very prudish society. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go to a strip club and see a woman taking her clothes off. You can go to a male strip club. You will never see male's genital out there. So there's a mystery about it. Even the word penis, you say the word penis, people giggle.
Yes.
And I say, you know, penis is not a pejorative word. It's a body part. The penis to the urologist is what the stomach is to the gastroenterologist.
Exactly.
It's just the body part. Get over it.
Right. Get over it. Yeah.
There's this mystique about it. It's it's sort of a hidden thing, myths about it. Many men get their penis education in the schoolyard or in a porno magazine. Very inaccurate.
Yes, absolutely. It is inaccurate. I mean, I hear what you're saying. You know, so it's amazing. And it is. It's word of mouth. It's inaccuracy. It's, you know, it's just the way it goes in our society. You had a funny story you were telling me before we got on the air about your first book. You know, you were talking about the penis word in your first book.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got a lot of flack back then.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
It's called penis power, right?
Yeah, I mean, a patient pulled a 3x5 card out of his pocket and said, you should write a book, a layman's book. And he said, penis. I said, what a great idea. That was about 20 years ago.
Right.
And I sold it to a major book company, Warner Books. They gave me a fair amount of money.
Good for
you. And then when the book came out, they said, you can't put the word penis on the cover of a legitimate book. It's not a lascivious book. It's not a salacious book. It's an informational book. And they changed it to super potency. I was very, very disappointed.
I bet you
very
were.
Disappointed.
You're saying it's a medical term, guys. Yeah. Get real here.
Get over it, folks.
God, no kidding.
Here comes Dr. Danoff, our favorite, you know, Beverly Hills penis doctor, and everybody laughs.
Exactly. Well, you know, in your book, it's terrific. It's called The Ultimate Guide to Male Sexual Health, How to Stay Vital at Any Age. And, of course, my guest today, in case you just tuned in here to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, is Dudley Seth Danoff. And, of course, he's a medical doctor who has practiced urology, and he is also a superstar here at Cedars-Sinai, the best hospital probably in Los Angeles, I think, when it comes to, you know, helping and saving lives with oncology. You know, you suggest, of course, that we should know more about men's sexual apparatus, because men... And I love this word. Can I add this to my, you know, psychological term? Because we have egocentric.
Right.
Men are penocentric. Yes. I love that.
Well, it's very true.
does that mean? Well, what is that about?
You know, a man starts his life coming out of a vagina and then spends the rest of his life trying to get back in.
Oh, boy.
And I, you know, that's as blunt as I can be. But it's, you know, young, old. I mean, I have 90-year-old patients who have erectile dysfunction. And
yes.
they say to me, Doc, Doc, help me. I just want to get it up and in one more time. So, you know, men
yeah.
When they're not thinking about making a living and they're not thinking about their families, they're thinking about their penis. And
yes.
we're all of us, we're all guilty of that.
Guilty.
Guilty as charged.
Oh, well, you know. It's survival of the species, right? What can I say?
I think there's probably a reason for it, and that's a good one.
Yeah, I think so. But I think a lot of women really don't understand that. And in my practice, what I find is so many women fear that it's connected to emotion when it comes to men, you know, looking at other women or being sexually aroused a lot or, you know, kind of fantasizing. And if dare a man be honest with their woman about that, she's going to say, oh, you're cheating on me, or that hurts my feelings.
Yeah.
But, you know, basically they need to understand the male brain functions differently.
Abs 100%. And the American psychology is very different, for example, in mm-hmm. the European psychology.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a mistress is unacceptable in the American culture.
Right.
And a mistress is very acceptable in the French culture, in the Spanish culture, in the mm-hmm. Italian culture. You know, a good wife wouldn't think, oh, that's my husband. You know, he's being his man. He comes home. He takes care of us. He takes care of the family. He's a good provider. You know, he's a wonderful husband. So it's very
yes.
American.
Right.
It's very American.
Yes. And don't forget the geishas.
Don't forget the geishas.
So, you know, we've talked about the psychological aspects of all this, and so I'm interested in how our minds affect our bodies. I mean, that's my fascination always. So I've seen a large amount of young men and some older men who tell me that they have performance anxiety. And, you know, this is something that they dare only reveal to their psychologist, who has no judgment whatsoever, and of course, their urologist.
Well, listen,
so,
there's no...
What's this about?
Well, performance anxiety. Look, we all have performance anxiety. I mean, I've done thousands of radio interviews, and when I came here in the studio, I had some anxiety. I mean,
sure.
it was a little
right.
bit, but it's normal.
Right.
But when it comes to the penis, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you doubt that it's going to work and do what you want it to do, it becomes a... It's a little like that dog chasing his tail in
sure.
ever-decreasing circles until he disappears up as you-know-what.
Yeah.
I mean, it's self-fulfilling.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
So with a man, what's going on with his penis is right out there. He can't hide it. He can't fake it. And if he doesn't believe in it, he's dead in the water.
Mm-hmm.
So performance anxiety is a real problem. And
mm-hmm.
I say to my patients, get over it.
Yes.
It's yours. It's your best friend. Rely on it. It may disappoint you from time to time, but that doesn't mean it's failing you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, if that's the number one thing, you know, that they're focused on. Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean,
if you say, oh, my God, I don't think it's going to work.
Right.
Or it's my first date. Oh, my God, what if I, you
right.
know, climax too early, you know. You're dead in the water.
Exactly.
Think positively. Of course it's going to work. And
of course.
If it doesn't work, we'll be back tomorrow. It's like the city bus. You know, you miss
That's
one,
right.
another one comes along.
That's right. And you never know. It might be in a couple of hours.
There you go.
Who knows? You know, when your mind is in the right place.
There you go.
That's exactly right. I'd also, you know, we have so many things we want to cover here because I this book, Male Sexual Health, it's the ultimate guide, by the way, guys. Ladies, how to stay vital at any age. This book by my guest today, Dudley Seth Danoff, Dr. Danoff, we call him.
You can call me Dud.
Dud? Nah, I wouldn't do that.
Everybody else does.
Oh, God.
In an affectionate
Even
way.
Even your patients?
Well.
Hey, Dud, what's up?
The Dudder.
The Dudder. I like that. That's very cool. Anyway, if you get me off my track of mind here, I'm thinking. But if you want to know everything there is to know about male sexual apparatus and the way men think and what women should understand about men. This is the book to get. If you want to call in live, that's cool. We can take your calls. Try to, you know, just ask questions that concern you or maybe a friend of yours. That's great. 323-203-0815. Of course, we have straighttalkdoc@gmail.com if you want to remain anonymous. And, of course, I'll read your questions and we can go from there. Now, ladies, are ready? Because I know you're out there. I have a huge female audience. Let's talk about some of the things that women need to know about men's sexuality, okay? You say that women should make their men's sexual satisfaction a priority. Now, isn't that a little sexist, Dr. Danoff? A little bit?
Well, I actually don't think so. I'm married to my first and original wife for over 40 years. I have an adult daughter who's or Oy Vey.
Well.
Take a choice.
Okay, all right.
I have a daughter that's a high-profile Beverly Hills lawyer, both strong women in my life. So it's not, it's a two-way street. The fastest way to a man's heart is not through his stomach.
Okay.
The fastest way to a man's heart is through his penis.
All right.
And women have to understand that. That doesn't mean they have to be a slave to his sexual needs, but they have to understand his needs. And my father used to say, you know, I'm hard when I'm soft, and I'm soft when I'm hard.
Okay, and what does that mean?
Well, it means, you know, don't ask me for something after I'm satiated. Ask me something when my desire is piqued.
Right.
So I'm hard-hearted.
Okay, I get
when I'm soft, and I'm soft-hearted.
I like that.
No,
that's really.
It's the essence of man, and it doesn't degrade women. A woman still needs to be respected. A woman's needs need to be fulfilled, but she also has to understand, again, getting back to this idea that men are penocentric, that, you know, this is the heart of the guy.
Right.
And be nice to it, and it'll be nice to you.
Right.
I mean, it goes both ways. So
sure.
I don't think sexist, it's just, I think, a fact of life.
Yes, it is a fact of life. It's just the way it is.
The way it is.
There's a, you know, and I think, again, a lot of times we as women, we're, you know, we're both firing a lot on both sides of the brain there. We're very emotional. We're very verbal, communicative. We're very, you know, we need a lot of that stuff. We don't understand. Let's just take action and go for it. Let's just do it right now.
A man is, you know, wham, bam, thank you.
That's right. And it's not emotion.
It is not. Well, just, I mean, some,
well,
many, many times. Well, it is, of course.
Passion, but with your loved one and all that. Yeah.
And, you know, the greatest aphrodisiac is love. It's not Viagra. It's love.
Exactly. See, there you go. Speaking about which, in your book, The Ultimate Guide to Male Sexual Health, you emphasize that the health of the sexual relationship all begins with communication. So can you just elaborate on that a little?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You tell me what you want or, in fact, what you don't want. Let me tell you what I want or what I find distasteful, and then you have the basis of a fantastic relationship. And if you hide it, if you don't speak up, and you go away angry, it's not going to work. So communication is the key to any relationship, whether it, a man and a woman, a gay man, a lesbian couple, bi, trans.
Sure. That's right.
Yeah. It's all the same. And everything that I write in the book, I try to keep it neutral. I don't say husband, wife, he, she. I say lover, partner, because that's what it's about.
I mean,
it's the same between a man and a woman, two men.
Right. Exactly. I mean, there's no, there's no sexual discrimination.
And
it is what it is, you know.
And communication is the key element.
Yes, it is. Yeah, that's it, communication. And I think that's one of the most common things that I see in my practice is people need to communicate. You know, there's in the bedroom. I mean, there's a lot of and more to in order to understand each other and how they're feeling and thinking so they're not splitting. But this is so important because it's like, have you talked about this? I hate it when he does this to me. He's so rough. Well, tell him.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Charlie.
and the same thing with him. You know, she's not doing this right.
Right.
She's just not hearing me. This is what I want to make me feel good. And why isn't she hearing me? Well, maybe you can practice it and be a teacher step by step.
Try it that way.
You know,
absolutely. And the more you communicate, the more you say what is inside you, the more it's out front and on your chest, the more successful you are going to be in any relationship. And I say that, you know, I'm not a psychologist. I'm a mainstream urologist.
That's
but
right.
It's,
no, exactly.
It's apparent.
No, it really is. And again, I always say to people who come in to see me is, he's not psychic.
Right.
She's not, well, hopefully, she's not psychic. Right. You've got to tell your partner what you want sexually. And also before you even get together. I mean, what I also have experienced are there are many couples who come in and maybe the man or the woman has kept sort of their fantasies on the down low during the, you know, fantasy honeymoon.
Got it.
Right? They get married, they live together, and they really start, you know, and, oh, by the way, can I bring your high heels into the bedroom? What? What? Can I fondle your shoe? Well, what? You know, I've heard this a lot. And
anything,
yes.
Anything behind closed doors between two consenting adults.
That's right.
As long as a medical man at practicing safe sex,
right,
you know, goes. And I often say, do you know the difference between professional wrestling and making love? And the difference is, in making love, there are no holds, H-O-L-D-S, barred.
I like that. That's a good one. It's a little wrestling joke, guys. But no, it's true. And it's whatever, two consenting
absolutely.
Adults or whatever.
Absolutely.
And there's no judgment.
No judgment.
You know, don't share it. If you feel you're going to be judged, you don't have to put it out there.
As long as it's safe. I mean, medically safe.
That's right. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that's what it's all about. I want to get to some of the ways in which men can tell if they're really satisfying their partners. But you talk about the top 10 complaints that women have about men and their sexuality. So, and this is one of the most common ones I hear. All right. He wants to have sex when I'm not in the mood. Or I've come on to him and he's always supposed to be ready. What's going on with that? He's just, as Woody Allen would say, he's just laying there like a lox, you know?
So it's sort of the answer to your first question, you know, he wants sex all the time and I'm not in the mood.
Yeah.
So I think we have to introduce the concept of Jewish foreplay. That's 20 minutes of begging.
Boy, we're hitting Woody Allen today, aren't we? We
20
are.
Minutes of begging. So, look, it's, again, it goes back to communication. I think, you know, if she's not ready for sex, plead your case.
Right.
You know, get on your knees, bring her roses, take her out to dinner. Do whatever it takes to get the job done.
There you go.
And, you know, if you're not in the mood, I'm not sure how the woman should approach that. I'm going to leave that to you, Michelle.
Okay.
Give me a clue on that one.
Well, you know, I think, no, I agree. I think, and women should, you know, it's give and take. It's appreciating your loved one, hearing what they're saying, you know, being open to making them happy as well. Unless it makes you feel uncomfortable.
I just came from Japan, and I've been there many times, but I never quite appreciated the essence of the Japanese culture. Mm-hmm. For a Japanese person, the thing that makes that person most happy is that they make you happy. If they make you happy, then they're happy. In America, you know, what have you done for me lately, sweetheart?
Right.
And at first I thought, you know, this is a lot of BS, honestly. I said, these people are just faking it. Everywhere I went, every contact, every interpersonal contact, professional contact, how can I mean, they don't say it, they do it.
Yes.
How can I make you happy? If you're happy, I'm happy.
Men and women, of course.
It's a great mechanism to have a successful and a meaningful relationship. How, take me out of it. How, what can I do for you? And the more I do for you, the better I feel personally.
That's great. That's a great thing to say. Dr. Danoff, we have a caller on the line. Shall we go for it here? Shall we just go ahead and take this call?
Let's
Good morning. You're on the air here with Dr. Michelle and my special guest, Dr. Dudley Danoff. Who's this?
Hi, Dr. Michelle. This is Matthew.
Hey, Matthew. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. So did you have a question for Dr. Danoff or myself?
I did. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Great.
And today's show just actually sparked some questions, and I decided to just give it a shot and call in.
Ask
Dr. Danoff something about my own sexuality.
Sure.
I find myself not being as sexually driven as I used to be when I was younger. And the thing is, I'm 27 years old, so I'm still a young man. Mm-hmm. But ever since I started really devoting time to my business and to my work, my girlfriend has expressed to me that I've been less sexually active, and when she is in that intimate state, I am more prone to just kind of either trying to get over it as quickly as I can because I'm not in the mood, or I just flat out say, I'm sorry, honey, I love you, but I'm really tired. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed is a lot of my friends are almost the exact opposite, where they are just like, it's almost like horn dogs, like looking for the next best tree to bark up, you know?
Right.
And I guess it makes me feel a little inadequate in some ways, but at the same time, I feel like I work harder than majority of the people I surround myself with, minus one person.
Okay, all right.
But
I can tell your boss is probably sitting there, right?
Yeah, you're so funny. No, well, I just was wondering if I have a problem, if this is something that I should possibly take up with my doctor, or what tools, doc, do you have to help me out a little bit? And I want to please my girlfriend, but I also have to do my work. What do you suggest?
Well, Matthew, I think you answered your own question. You're working too hard, so you can't have two masters. And I'm sure your friends who are the horn dogs are not as driven in business as you are. They're more focused on the other half. So if you're chasing your business around on the freeway, you're answering 10 telephones a day, 60 emails, and you come home, there's no time for sex. So, what I would suggest to you is, you're a young guy, you got a long and healthy lifetime, the tortoise and the hare, slow down and be the tortoise. You're going to get to the finish line, maybe slow it down on the business side, come home with a little less money at the end of the day. You'll have a little more energy in the evening, you'll romanticize. And if you can't do that, then somehow you have to compartmentalize. So you have to put all the stresses of the office and your business work, you got to put that in a little box, leave it outside the bedroom door. But I think the better alternative I think you just have to slow down in your business life.
Yes.
You don't need, and you don't need the little blue pill.
Yeah.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Yeah, I've been feeling that way very much. I just haven't been able to put my finger on it, and there's definitely an inner battle between wanting to maintain the level of work that I'm doing while simultaneously wanting to maintain my, relationship, my sexual relationship with my girlfriend. So, thank you so much. I think that is a wise decision to possibly slow down a little bit and put a little more focus on, my personal life. Yeah.
Good work.
Well, Matthew, thank you so much for calling in. And Dr. Danoff is right. And try not to bring your work home with you in your brain. I know if you're a very driven, A-type personality guy, I understand. You know, I really get, I do understand. But try not to turn your phone off if you can. If you can. Or put an automatic... Put a time zone where you're having an automatic message, come on, I'm busy right now, can't, we'll try to get back to you unless this is an emergency. Then if you have an alternate line or something like that, you can, you know, you hear what I'm saying? I'm just busy, don't bring it home with you.
I'm busy restoring my sexual relationship. Talk to you later.
There you go. There you go.
Message of the month.
Thanks so much.
I can't thank you guys enough, Dr. Danoff. That was wonderful advice, and I'm definitely going to apply that. Definitely going to think more about that. And Doc Michelle, as always, thank you so much for all of your wisdom and teaching. It's helped me more than you know.
Oh, bless your heart. Thanks so much for calling in, Matthew. Good luck to you. Slow
thank
down.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right.
And I'm definitely going to pick up a copy of the book. I've been listening, and it definitely sounds like something that they could really benefit me in multiple ways. So
yeah.
Thank you also for offering that book as well.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. Thank you, Matthew.
Have a good day now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a great day.
Okay. All right. I always love calls like that, you know. Helped him out. And also, speaking about Dr. Danoff's book, it is excellent. If you would like The Ultimate Guide to Male Sexual Health, How to Stay Vital at Any Age, this will tell you everything and anything you want to know. And I'm lucky enough to have Dr. Danoff in the studio today helping me out and sharing information about his book and helping you guys on the air as well. By the way, the show will be available in the archives for download and replay tomorrow here on LA Talk Radio with content. And also, I'm going to let you know how you can find out more about Dr. Danoff and get the book, where to get the book in those archives. And also, of course, all my shows are available on iTunes podcasts for free, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Download them, replay them, and get all the information you need. But you're not going to get everything you need. So go ahead and get the book, Male Sexual Health, Dr. Danoff. By the way, let's throw that in right now. What is the best way for people to get your book?
It's Dr. Amazon.
There you go.
You can't beat Amazon.
No, you can't.
I mean, it's available in all the bookshops, but I certainly recommend Amazon. They just do a great job. Overnight delivery, price is right.
Yes, exactly. Let's get back to some of the great things that you talk about in your book. A lot of women say things to you.
And
they come into the appointments with their men, and I know they do. And you have a large chapter dedicated to some of the things that women say. And one of the things is, sometimes he annoys me so much, I can't bring myself to have sex with him. Right? We hang on to things. We do carry things emotionally. So do men. But how do you answer this question?
Well, I think, again, you have to communicate
to
your man.
Yeah.
Be less annoying. And
right.
And there'll be a nice warm bed for you.
That's
and
right.
I do have a book. I do have a chapter in the book dedicated specifically to women. And my aim is to make every woman a penis professor, to know, you know, everything about the why, where, and how of the penis in her life.
Yes, exactly.
And the more she knows and the more she understands about that, she will be a happier person. And again, that is not pejorative. It's not sexist. It's just a matter of fact. But there is a whole chapter on for women, specifically for women.
Yes, exactly. It's a great chapter, by the way. hey, is too much sex unhealthy?
No such thing as too much sex.
Okay.
It's the greatest sport and the greatest exercise ever invented. It's great for cardiovascular fitness. It's great for physical fitness, upper body strength, lower body strength, to say nothing about psychological health.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after a wonderful sexual session, I mean, you just feel so cleansed, you feel refreshed, you feel renewed. It's the best thing that ever came down the 405 freeway.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there you go. I like that. We have another caller on the air. We'll try to take it here. I'm not sure. There's no identification. My producer didn't send this one through. Hi, you're on the air with Dr. Michelle and Dr. Danoff. Who's this? Hello? Hello, hello? I think we lost him. I'm not sure. Hi, you're on the air with Dr. Danoff and Michelle. All right. Try to call back again if you have a question. It's 323-203-0815. I do have some questions coming in on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, and I appreciate it, everybody. That's super. You mentioned, and this is the same kind of a call, actually, from Matthew that came in on Straight Talk Doc here. And he says, Dr. Danoff, great show, exclamation point. I just want to know, I am 35 years old and having problems with getting an erection as often as I want. Do I need one of those little blue pills?
Well, I mean, you have to be age, sexuality, erections, firmness of the erections, frequency of the erections, ability to ejaculate has to be age appropriate. I mean, I think 35 is a little early in terms of age. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you have some underlying medical problem. Mm-hmm. You know, erectile dysfunction is sometimes the early sign of hypertension or diabetes or hypercholesterolemia. So I think it would be prudent, to go to your urologist, have a blood screening test. And if everything is intact, there's no harm in taking the little blue pill. It's perfectly safe. But it might, the fact that you're having ED at age 35 might be predictive that you have some underlying health issue. Mm-hmm. So get checked out. I would advise you to do that.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I thank you so much for emailing me, Mr. Anonymous Person. There, it was great.
Nobody at 35 wants to tell you he's having ED.
Oh, my goodness. That's right. That's exactly right. But I bet there are a lot more people, than most people think. And
well,
you see
there
them
are,
all the time.
And, and we, it's usually the last thing they say to me as they turn to grab the doorknob as they're leaving the examining room. And by the way, Doc.
Yes.
Every man wants to be a hero, catch the, pass in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. And no man wants to admit that he's having problems down there. So it is a difficult issue. Now, it's certainly better because every time you turn on the television, you see that ad says, get Cialis. And if your erection, lasts longer than 4 hours, call your doctor.
Yes.
Well, if that happened to me, I'd call everybody I know. But
exactly. That's right. Exactly. And, that is, there are some dangers to that as well.
Right. But what I'm saying is this whole, issue of ED is more out of the closet now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't turn on a sporting event without three commercials and some babe, sexy lingerie telling you, take an ED and you can have me.
That's exactly right. Those are very powerful commercials.
Very powerful.
They know exactly how to market that. That's, but it's, it's really true.
Yeah.
Is it sort of an epidemic that you're seeing that a lot of men are taking the little blue pills?
Well, look, these are pills of performance. They're not pills of emotion. So they definitely will improve your performance. Mm-hmm. What I see is a lot of younger guys taking the pills unnecessarily. They're going to go to a club for the weekend. They want to be the weekend warrior.
Right.
And there's a lot of risk in that.
Yes.
So if there's abuse of the pills, in my practice, it's in the younger guys and not in the older guys. Mm. The older guys who need a little help are really benefited by it, and it really extends their sexuality 10 or 15 years.
Sure.
But the younger guys, abuse is a real problem.
Yeah, I hear that. That's a fascinating issue there. Guys, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, and my special guest today is Dr. Dudley Danoff. And he, of course, has just written a book. It's called The Ultimate Guide to Male Sexual Health, How to Stay Vital at Any Age. It's flying off the shelves. I love that. You can get it at Amazon. And, of course, we'll give you more information about how to find out about Dr. Danoff with his website as well. That'll be up in the archives tomorrow if you'd like to check it out here. And in case you missed something, you can learn everything you wanted to know about sex and maybe more. So I think it's a good thing. I wanted to ask you something that I'm just dying to know. Okay. Is it true that what most women want is a really large penis in a guy? I mean, this is the stuff we're talking about, the word of mouth and guys and in the locker room and guys' jokes and women's jokes. But really, in your over 30 years of practicing, is this really real?
I'm going to give you a two-part answer. So, some men prefer big breasts. Some men prefer small breasts. All the action is at the tip. The most sensitive part of the penis is the glands, which is the tip of the penis. The most sensitive part in a woman is the clitoris. It's right up front. The mysterious G-spot is still to be
mysterious.
defined by the urologist.
That's right.
But here's the anecdote. Right. We talked about me seeing more penises than can fill the Rose Bowl. And I have. And yes. I've seen a lot of those penises attached to a woman. And so the women come to my office with their man, lots of them, not all of them.
Right.
In
sure.
all my years of practice, more than 30 years, I've never had a woman come to me, Michelle, and say, could you make my man's penis longer or fatter or wider? Not
never.
Once, but what they have asked is, could I make it a little bit firmer and attach it to a sweeter guy?
Oh.
preferably with a Platinum American Express card.
Come on now.
I think there's a very small number of people that are size obsessed, but the overwhelming number of women, in my experience, both personal and professional, they prefer a firm penis attached to a really sweet, kind, gentle man.
I love
by
that.
By a mile.
I love that. And size really doesn't matter.
To some people, who are size obsessed, but not, it's a really small minority.
Mm-hmm.
And I've spoken to Playboy bunnies. And they've, those girls, who know their stuff.
Right.
Tell me the same thing.
Right. They're in the environment, and I'm sure. Right. I'm sure you've been exposed to so many different kinds of people. And you know what you're doing. Dr. Dudley Seth Danoff here, talking about his latest book, Male Sexual Health. And I just wanted to also ask you something about, you hear about these penile implants and all of this plastic surgery that you can perform. Really? Can you do all that? Are the pumps? What's up with those things?
So there are two things.
Okay.
The first thing, we're talking about plastic surgery. We refer to that as phalloplasty, PH, meaning to attempt to make the penis larger.
Right.
I can't say it in a loud enough and professional voice.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a disaster.
Really?
It can't be done effectively. Unlike a breast implant or a rhinoplasty, a nose job, the penis is an organ which goes from being relatively small to relatively large, maybe 10 times a day. There's no material, grafting material, that you can put in there. The patients that have had it done and have come to me are grotesque and unhappy.
Yes. Oh, my
so
gosh.
Every guy in the world may want a bigger penis, but you're stuck with the one God gave you.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Walmart's. Get a magnifying glass. Unzip your trousers. Hold it over your penis. And it's the IPE, the Instant Penis Enlarger.
Yes.
And that's it.
There you go.
It is what you have. You can't make it bigger. Now, as far as penile implants are concerned, that's a different issue.
Mm-hmm.
So we use those in men, for example, who have had prostate cancer surgery and have a physical impairment. They can't get the penis up.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a way of putting in a cylinder with an inflatable reservoir that works very well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as good as the real thing.
Right.
It can't be larger. That prosthetic device has to fit your genetic size. It can't be larger. You can't by putting it in, you can't make it bigger.
Right,
just gives you the ability to get it erect.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it's not as good as the real deal, and sometimes when you press that deflate button, it opens your garage door.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
You're great. You have such a great sense of humor. I mean, this is...
You've got to, right? Doing this for 30 years if you don't.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be on your couch.
Oh, yeah.
In Westwood.
That's right. It's oh, man. But it's true.
Yes.
I love the way you said the young guys who, come into your office and they're on their way out and they say, oh, by the way, I can't...
They're very reluctant.
There's a lot of oh, by the ways going on. Yeah.
And they're very reluctant, for example, to come in for their annual prostate exam. Every man
over
40 should be doing that. A woman wouldn't miss her pap smear or yearly mammogram. A man, gosh, they've got to have, the whole family pushing them in to get their exam.
That's true.
This machismo.
It is so true. So just on the more serious side here, it's all been serious, folks, of course, but what do you say to men who are facing a diagnosis of prostate cancer?
It's not the bacia morte. It is not the kiss of death.
Okay.
Most of the diagnoses now, with the advent of PSA and prostate cancer screening and ultrasounds, we're able to make the diagnosis at a very early age. Most prostate cancers are really, quote, benign cancers. So we have a huge number of men in our active surveillance, watchful waiting. The cancers are not going anywhere. They don't need any aggressive treatment. If, however, you do have an aggressive cancer, we now use the robot. We do this as an outpatient without any incision. We preserve potency. We preserve continence. I mean, this is a life-changing event in urology. I've never seen this kind of progress in all the years that I'm doing it. So if you have it, face up to it.
Right.
We don't want anybody dying of prostate cancer. I mean, Michelle, 240,000 men in the United States will be diagnosed with prostate cancer this year.
My God.
And 25,000 will die.
My goodness. That's not bad.
Don't be afraid with the diagnosis. We have a treatment for everybody, and we can preserve your potency and preserve your continence.
That's really positive news. I mean, that's a very scary thing.
It is. You say the word cancer, sure. Especially, oh my God, prostate cancer, there goes my manhood. You know, the prostate is a secondary sex organ. It has nothing to do with getting an erection.
Right.
The prostate supplies the fluid that carries the sperm.
Yes.
So, you know, what comes out is mostly prostatic fluid and not sperm. But you take that away, you still can ejaculate. You can still have the sensation of orgasm, just less fluid.
Right.
The ladies like it better because it's a lot neater.
Yes, that's true. We do. Like, it's a lot neater. But I think, you know, it is. It's so nice to know that the prognosis is good.
Excellent.
For the majority of those diagnosed with prostate cancer.
Early diagnosis is the key.
That's right. So guys, if you're listening, and women, if you're listening, if you really push your men, and guys, go in for your regular checkups. Really, they're painless.
Yes, they are.
They're very painless.
And embarrassing, but painless.
Oh, really? And it shouldn't even be embarrassing, right?
Well, it shouldn't.
It could save your life.
You know, so everybody comes in. It is sort of an embarrassing, you know, take your trousers down, bend over. So
sure.
So now everybody tells me the joke, you know, to try to disarm the situation. Mm-hmm. So I have heard every genital joke
invented
by mankind.
Right.
And the patients always start, Dr. Danoff, have you heard this one? Oh, I think I have.
Right.
Probably 10 times.
That's right. Oh, you think? Not to worry. You know, what's so interesting is Danoff is a great name. That's a very strong name. You're lucky you don't have one of my old San Francisco doctors who is, let's see. He was a urologist. He was also working with a lot of folks doing colonoscopies. He was Dr. Butts. Last name.
So there was actually a urologist here in the Valley.
Yeah.
A urologist, Dr. Dick.
Oh, okay.
Richard Dick.
There you go.
Dick.
There you go. Okay, and he loved that. I know
Of course.
That. You're great. So what is the best way that listeners can find out more about you, Dr. Danoff, and also get a hold of your book, The Ultimate Guide to Male Sexual Health, How to Stay Vital at Any Age?
Just go to my website, The Ultimate Guide to Male Health, without the word sexual, The Ultimate Guide to Male Health. There's a lot of information. You can certainly order the book through Amazon, which is the best. It's available in all the bookstores. If you come by Cedars-Sinai, come and give me a shout out.
That's great.
And I'll give you a book.
Yay! Yay!
Just to say hello.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for writing this book and for helping so many people out.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much for these kind words.
Wow, it's great.
I want to get this report cut. I want to send it home to my wife.
Would you? Good. I hope she's listening. But I'm sure she is. So thank you again. It's really been a pleasure to have you here on the show. And again, the show will be up and on the archives shortly after we get off the air. But I'll have all of the detailed information about Dr. Danoff and how you can get in touch with him, find out more about his book, and also his previous books that he's written that are comprehensive about penis power and super potency, the things guys and women want to learn more about. All right. Thanks for saving lives, too. You're a superstar. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Michelle.
All right. Take good care now. All right, guys. Listen, we have some great stuff coming up next week. What I'm going to be doing is answering all of your questions that you have written me over the last over the last several weeks, and they're dealing with anything and everything. So I'm going to be contacting you and letting you know that I'll answer your questions, relationship issues, communication problems, anxiety, stress, fears, phobias, you name it, we got them, and I'll help you out with them. Thanks for listening. You can stay on the couch here. And I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. That's the way it works in the world. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye-bye.